DGS, the gang is here, minus Dave. He'll be back, well, maybe tomorrow, but probably Thursday. He's making his way back from California. And in the meantime, we'll hold down the shop. Rach, you are setting a vibe today, are you not?
I don't know why I picked this song. I don't know why, but I was like, you know what? Let's do it.
Is it just feeling like that kind of day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad.
Listening to Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Sweet.
Yeah, for anybody that's...
For the stream, yeah.
I forget this. I always forget the stream can't hear, and then they're like, "What are you talking about?" Mm-hmm. Well, sorry guys. Sorry, you get the privilege. You may not hear the music, but you at least get to see us in all of our air quotes glory. Forgetting that we're on camera and scratching. I got an itch on my nose. Sorry.
Okay, I think I finally got my camera to look okay.
It's a challenge with the backlit side of the studio.
Yeah, and there was like a height. There's quite a height difference between me and Matt Pajeski. So sometimes there's a little bit of adjusting that needs to be
good
going
point.
On.
I run into that all the time whenever I have to follow Matt Pauly. 6'4" versus 5'8". Yeah, a little bit of a challenge. It's a minor adjustment there. It's a good weekend. You guys have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend.
Chilling? Mm-hmm.
You okay in there, Andrew?
I'm good.
We can barely hear you.
Yeah, I'm going to turn... Sometimes it sounds so much louder on the stream when I'm watching the stream later. But I'll still pot him up.
Cool.
Can you... Okay.
It almost sounds like you're talking into the wrong mic.
Yes, that's what it sounds like.
But that shouldn't be the case because you have one mic there. All right, well...
Yeah, it seems...
Oh, wait, hold on.
Hold up. Okay.
There we go. That's way too loud.
Okay, so there's this little...
Okay, so you got to talk into the talkback thing.
Thing that I have to... So now I have to get down on my knees.
Look at the stream. You can't even see him.
And put this tiny microphone all the way in my mouth. And then maybe I can be on the... And it also... Also, for what it's worth, sounds like garbage.
No, it actually sounds not terrible.
It sounds better than the other.
Well, maybe it's because you were so far away, right? You were so far away, it sounded like you were in another room.
It sounds like garbage to me.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
It's not perfect, but it's fine.
It's echoing somewhere in here. Do you guys hear
it? It's just you, thank God, because it's not on here. Well, that's weird. Did not expect that.
Hey, you know what? It's been a long weekend. You can't expect things to go how they went on Friday.
It was a 3-day weekend, man. Things happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Ah!
The building settled. Something changed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, something.
A butterfly flew through that room. And its wings, the butterfly effect, however that works.
Anywho, good weekend.
It was good. I was off on Friday, too, so I feel like I haven't been here in a long time. Yeah, I reached a point, like, yesterday morning where I just felt super weird. Because it's been
too long.
Yeah, it's been a little too long. And then, like, it's one thing if you're away, if you're out of town when you're away from work for that long. But then when you're in town, it's like, what am I doing? Yeah.
I'm just standing around.
Yeah.
Andrew, you had a couple of days in the movie theater this weekend. Yeah, exactly. Really well said.
It sounds like he's cussing and we're censoring him or something.
Hang on.
There's something weird going on.
Maybe you should just come in here.
Yeah, just come on in for a second.
Okay, hang on.
It'll be easier this way. Just come on in. So you got for people that don't know, and I can show the stream a little bit. I'm going to pick up my camera, but you can, like, there's a main studio that's like here, right? Then there's Rach over on the other side, and this is where I am. And then there's another little studio. That's the producer studio. That's where Andrew sits. That's why he's got to come in. That's so he can do other things like answer phone calls and put audio clips together and do the podcasting and all that kind of that nerdy stuff that we don't normally bother you with. But we always get questions like, where's Andrew? Why is he not in the room? Well, that's why, because he's got that room over there. Now he's in with us. Hello, Andrew.
I'm so mad. Okay.
Now I done messed up my camera, too.
And you had asked me a question.
Yeah, you were in the movie theater a couple times this weekend.
I was in the movie theater a couple times this weekend.
One of them was 4 hours?
Yeah.
4 hours?
Yeah, I went to a K-pop thing that was 4 hours. I should stop calling it a thing. It was a performance.
So it's just an on-screen concert?
On stage. They actually
You're seeing it on screen, but it's...
No, they lifted up the screen and there was a stage behind. No, I'm lying.
Oh, I was like, dang, that would be a big act to get in for a movie theater.
No, it was, so they was like, they were doing it live in, I think, Japan, and I was watching it on the screen.
And they go 4 hours?
They go 4 hours.
Same act?
Yeah, because if they stop, they hit them. So they have to keep singing.
Wait. If they stop, they hit them.
Yeah, they like strike them with like a, you know, a switch. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is.
The record label does this, or the promoters, or
fans. Also,
the fans.
It's
the fans.
Encouraged if you can reach them. That's why you pay for the good seats.
Like that's how long a normal show is, like in the States. But you'll have an opening act, and then you'll have another opening act, and then the main people will go on for, I don't know what, like an hour and a half typically.
Yeah.
Typically, K-pop does not do opening acts.
Not at all.
No.
Oh, because I guess everybody's there for the main act.
Yeah.
That's a lot, because don't they move around? Like 4 hours seems like
a lot. It's a lot of dancing.
Oh, that's what the hitting is for. It's very strong motivation.
Andrew's just slandering the whole industry of K-pop. Is this just your frustration of having to sit there for 4 hours?
If you read up a little bit, really not. So it's super long. And but it was fine. I mean, you know, it was a good time. I didn't hate this group.
Okay.
They did all right. They did a good job. My wife stood up for a little girl, which was nice. So good for her. She was a hero.
What happened?
There's this thing in K-pop called light sticks. Everybody's got their own design of them.
Yeah, they had them at the Oscars whenever the K-pop Demon Hunters people performed.
Okay. That's exactly correct. I forgot about that. And so this girl had brought hers for this group. The mom mentioned later she spent $70 on it, so these things are not expensive. This is probably like the one chance that this little girl is going to get to like use her stick in somewhat appropriate setting.
Right, in the middle of a show, in a dark theater.
But the thing is, this is a show. This is a concert. It's a performance.
Right.
It's not like a film. You're not like sitting. You don't have to necessarily sit silently and
watch. Right.
Like some assorted people.
People sing along, I would assume.
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah, and some people, assorted people, were sitting and chatting here and there. And you don't really mind if you hear people chatting. Because again, it's a concert. You're watching a concert.
I get you.
Except the fun police were seated right behind my wife and I.
Oh?
And so they kept yelling at this girl multiple times to turn her light off.
Yelling at a little girl?
Yeah, like screaming from up at the top of the theater, like, turn that light off! And there was another girl... seated like way down at the front, like at the very, very, you know, front where you have to like crane your neck back. She actually ended up turning hers off, which I felt bad at. But she was a little older. She seemed like she was maybe like, you know, in her 20s or something.
Oh, well, that's not a little girl.
Well,
that's a grown ass person.
Not like 20, like 19 or 20. Not like, not like
still grown.
But yeah, I know. But able to, you shouldn't yell at people.
I agree.
But you're able to, handle, you know, that perhaps a little bit better. But to yell at this little girl. So my wife was like, hey, let her have fun. Stop it.
Hey.
Yeah.
Good job.
And then the fun police girl was like, like huffed and puffed. And I was waiting for her to say something because I was like.
Then Andrew's going to go.
Yeah, because I was like, look, the girl's mom is here. Don't get too involved. But if they had said something back to Megan, then I
now you're in.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Then
now
I have
in.
To.
Yeah.
Then I have to get in the fight. Then afterwards, the girl's mom found Megan while I was in the bathroom and came up and said, thank you for standing
That's
up
nice.
For my daughter.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's all about the app. Like, I went and saw The Mandalorian and Grogu. I know you saw that over the weekend, too.
You're waving your light stick.
He had his lightsaber.
See, like,
he was twirling it in the air.
I was about to say that this was the first normal, and it was, the first normal movie experience I've had maybe since COVID.
Like without
where
people talking.
Nobody's having a conversation in the middle of the movie.
Very nice.
Nobody's got their phone like on so you can hear the ringer. Nobody's got the texting on so you can hear them texting in the middle of the show. Like none of that stuff. Nothing. Nobody was talking. Nothing. No phones out like in the middle. I think what Andrew, what you do, if you sit at the back and you do that, that's very courteous. That's totally fine. That's not going to bother anybody. But when you're in the middle of the theater and you're constantly bringing your phone out and it's like in people's view, that's not a really nice
thing. You're sending the iMessage and it's like, who?
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing. It was totally normal. It was a totally normal experience.
Why?
It was great.
Because people respect baby Gorko.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the power of Grogu.
I wish I had the that experience. I said to my brother,
"So
I
you
was
guys
like,
had a normal a quote new normal experience."
Yeah, I texted my brother. I was like, "Hello, good to meet you. I am every human being seeing the big new blockbuster movie on release day. Please be gentle with me. It's my first day on the planet of Earth." when we walk up to our seats, And there's this couple sitting in our seats, and I'm like, oh, I think you might be in our seats. And they said, oh, no, we're not. And I was like, you're in our seats. And the guy is like, no, we are definitely not. We're definitely not. These are 100% our seats. And I'm like, and again, I'm holding two pieces of paper in my hand.
That say the seat.
That say that these are not your seats.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, and no, it's not. They're not yours. Can you at least just check and make sure that you're in the mm-hmm. right seats? And they're like, no, we're not going to check because these are our seats. We're not checking.
I refuse to check.
Yeah, we're not checking.
It's an insult to me that you want me to check.
These are our seats. And I'm like, can you please just check? Just please. And then so finally, the woman is like, fine, I'm going to check and I'm going to show. these aren't our seats. And
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I know.
I know. I have a ticket right here that says this ticket seat number.
I've been telling you
it.
This.
I'm holding B1 and B2 in my hand and holding it up like this.
So you can see it.
To show you that I'm holding the ticket that says that these are my seats. And they even said, like, the guy said to the woman, like, I told you were on the wrong side of the theater.
Then why did you fight it?
Like, why did you fight it?
Why didn't you just say, I'll check, thanks, and then, oh, sorry.
That's
one of the most irritating things ever is the people that are going to make a mistake, suspect that they made a mistake, and dig in anyway because God forbid you lose. You didn't lose. You just made a minor mistake you could have corrected in 4 seconds.
And this is also, this is not, I don't want to be too, this could happen to anybody. Lord knows it could happen to me. But there was like somebody else that was like walking up the stairs and they tripped and they spilled like six sodas and 2 buckets of popcorn.
Oh.
And you're just like, is it all of your first day? were all of you literally born yesterday?
Yeah. God, That's a bummer. I was kind of here. I am hoping that like people are getting back to normal, and it turns out I might have just got lucky.
I think you got very lucky.
Yeah, because the last time I was at a movie, I don't remember which one it was, but there were people. So we had our two seats, and then there were two seats between us and two more people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like a mom and a teenage son. I think that's what it looked like in the theater, and that's what they would not. Shut up the whole movie, like full-blown conversations, text buttons going beep, 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 beep. And I about half an hour in, this is how loud I said it. Can you not talk during the movie, please? And then the mom looks at me like I'm crazy. And I just said, I didn't say anything. I just stared at her.
Like, Kevin.
Hey,
Kevin's the fun police now.
Hey, listen,
now Kevin's the fun
if you're
police.
At a concert and you're up and dancing like we're talking about, that's fine. There's a code for everything that goes, right? There's
people keep on learning.
That's Tuesday on DGS. Dave, not today. Sounds like back Thursday. For some reason in my head, I thought it was Friday initially.
I believe he's back Friday.
Okay, Friday. Okay.
It's confused. The
texts
dialogue
were confusing, but it's also a lot of travel going on, and I can see how it goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Either way, Dave will be back sometime this week.
I'm excited for Friday.
Yeah, Friday's going to be
it's
good.
It's going to be a fun show.
So we will all be, the four of us will be out at patios in advance of game one between the Cubs and the Cards.
Are we doing the whole show out there?
No, I think we're just doing the second half. I think 3 to 5. So somehow, some way. Before 3 o'clock, we're going to jump into a shuttle and get over there one way or another.
I think I'm staying here a little longer than you guys to hold over.
I got
you. That's the last I heard, but, things change.
Okay.
We'll see what goes on. I'm excited to be down at patios.
Either way, we're
going to
be at patios, and it's a lot of fun. I'm sure you know where it is, but if you don't, if you know where home plate is at the ballpark, just go underneath the overpass, and you're at patios.
I love that place.
That's the entrance to the Redbird Club, the home plate gate back there, the media gate, all that's right there. If you just go underneath the highway, that's where patios is. It's just literally right there behind the car on the other side of the Cardinals players parking lot, things like that. Really easy to get to. Good time to hang out. I'm sure it'll be packed for Cards and Cubs.
Yeah,
it'll be a lot of fun. And it's been a little bit more challenging the last handful of days for the Cards. I think they've lost 4 of the last 5. We'll talk about that with Ricky Horton coming up in just a few minutes. And of course, yesterday was tough because you guys will be bored by this, but the game they had yesterday, the pitcher for Milwaukee, Jacob Mizorowski, threw 57 pitches more than 100 miles an hour. And that is an all-time record. Nobody's ever done that before.
Oh my God, that's so boring.
I know it is. Like to people that don't care about numbers, it is boring. It just has never happened before in the history of this sport that dates back to the 1800s.
He set a bunch of records, right?
Yes,
he
did.
I was seeing online.
Yep, the most pitches at 100 miles an hour or more in a game, and he broke it by 20%. So he didn't just break it by a little bit. He broke it by 20%. Anyway, that's why the Cardinals didn't hit yesterday. Don't sweat that one. Don't be looking at that going, what are the hitters doing wrong? They're facing 103. That's what they did wrong. There's nothing you can do about it. The guy's nasty. We'll talk more about that with Ricky in a minute. One thing I wanted to bring up to you guys, kind of a little bit of a continuation of the conversation we had about the being the, at the movie theater, but more so about movies themselves. Because Andrew and I both agree. We saw The Mandalorian and Grogu. No spoilers, no nothing. It's pretty good. It's not legendary. It's not going to win an Oscar. It's not one of the all-time great Star Wars movies. It's fun. That's what it is. It's a couple hours of a good time. It's fun. And I feel like when it comes to franchises especially, and I think you guys will agree with this. If you don't, it's fine. But when it comes to franchises especially, but also other movies, I think we've made perfect the enemy of good. Like if something's not perfect, it's just trash. As opposed to it being okay to just be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense the way that I'm putting it? Because I understand you're never going to make people happy with a season finale, a series finale especially. You're never going to live up to expectations of classic franchises. I mean, Avengers Doomsday is coming out. It's not going to be, you know, Endgame. It's just not. And if you're going to expect that and you're going to be mad that it's not that, well, you're just setting yourself up. I feel like we've set ourselves up to make perfect the enemy of good.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I feel like fans of these different things can become really entitled and think that what they think the ending should be is like the only way it could ever possibly work. Instead of just enjoying this piece of media that someone else wrote, produced, directed, like, you know, they put all the work into it. And then to just be like, oh, it's just bad because it's not exactly what I wanted. It's like, well,
yeah,
if it's exactly what you wanted, like, why don't you just imagine that in your head? Why do you need someone else to, like, play that out on the screen for you?
Yeah, and I understand the problem because this exists in my little sports world, too, right? It's a very similar dynamic, entertainment and sports. Well, sports is just a form of entertainment, which makes it make sense. But you get fans of a team, fans of a franchise, and they spend so much time together in online communities. And I think that's a good thing, but you all start to build your own expectations.
Yeah.
And you have your own ideas. And everybody kicks it around. I'm like, yeah, I love that. And then it becomes a little bit, you know, it grows a little bit like a wildfire. And then when those things don't happen, and in sports, it's like, we want this player in free agency. And then when it doesn't happen, everybody's mad. Mm-hmm. Because you all had the same idea. But it doesn't mean it's the best idea. And it doesn't mean that another idea won't work. But when the communities all get together and kind of agree on something, it leads to this dynamic.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is it's true in sports, too. That those are not all of the fans. It can seem
right.
Like, you know, it can seem like this is everyone. There is a
great
consensus.
Point.
But it's actually just a kind of a small percentage of everyone.
It's probably 10-15%
right.
of the fan base that's really living it online. Yeah. I'm so back in on DGS. Dave out. He'll be back later in the week. The rest of us are here. Always great to talk ball with our friend Ricky Horton. And I guess, Rick, looking forward to tonight, 6:40 here on KMOX, 5:45 for the pregame. Looking forward to game two between the Cards and the Brewers. And the best thing to look forward to if you're a Cardinals hitter is that you will not see Jacob Mizorowski tonight. Oh, my Lord, was that something.
Were you in my brain? That was going to be the first thing I was going to say. Kevin, this is bad, man. We're starting to think alike. I feel bad for you, actually. But yeah, no, it's got to be like somebody asked me today who's pitching for them. It's like, doesn't matter. I don't care. It's just not that guy. And it's got to be a bit of a break. And although their guy's been really good, and of course, so has McGreevy, so I feel like we got a fighting chance here tonight.
It's a great matchup. There should be more balls in play today, because even with Libertor, for the mistakes he made early, struck out 10 batters in 5 innings. There was a lot of swing and miss yesterday. I would anticipate with McGreevy, and look, Kyle Harrison, as you mentioned, he's really good. He's got a 1.77 ERA, and he's a lefty. He's no joke. He's just not Miz, because Miz... You know the number by now, but I mean, for people that didn't hear it, 57 pitches over 100 miles an hour last night.
Ridiculous.
That is the all-time record.
Well,
and by 20%, he smashed the old record, which is nuts.
Well, And here's the deal. He was throwing the ball where he wanted to, too, yes. on top of that. I yes. mean, forget just – this was not just rearing back and throwing, and I don't know what's happening. He knew what was happening, and his slider was good, too. So, yeah, and Libby, you're right, set a career high in strikeouts, so that's a positive for him. And, you know, you can't fault anybody for not catching up to 104. You just kind of chalk that one. As Tony La Russa used to say, that's a cat.
Uh-oh. We'll get Ricky back. Yeah, it's one of those games where you just kind of tip your cap and you know this other guy is what he is. And when you face that guy and he gets you, you get it. I mean, that's just nothing you can do about it. There's no criticism. You can't say, you know, the hitters didn't do anything. It's not, this had nothing to do with the hitters. This is a guy that pounds the strike zone at 103 miles an hour, throws a 97 mile an hour slider and a 91 mile an hour curveball. And this is one of those where, you know, when you've got him going, and we're talking about Jacob Mizrowski, you get what you get. If you score any runs, you celebrate it. If you don't, you understand it. It's just that kind of thing. And there's not much to, you know, it's think about the prime pitchers that we've had, you know, in the past. It's just one of those guys. And we got Ricky Horton back on the phone now. Rick, just pointing out that with a guy like Miz, there's no adjustment to be made. Just
no.
Be happy, you know. To your point, he has what McGreevy has. Right, he throws strikes, and now he only throws two or three pitches. But you know, one of them's 103, one of them's a 97 mile an hour slider, and one of them's a 90 mile an hour curveball. But he doesn't get a lot of chase out of the zone because he doesn't need to. No. He just pounds the zone.
Yeah. Well, he's a good example of being a pitcher where you shouldn't just add another pitch just because you can. I mean, where do you need it? I mean, if what you've got is good enough and works, you know, what did Bob Gibson do? Fastball slider, and in that era. I mean, he was mostly that, and kind of that was enough for Gibby. So, I mean, he really was phenomenal. And again, I prefer the ball and play game. So hopefully tonight we get more of that. You know, just again, I think their lefty is a guy. You know, oddly, their guy tonight wasn't very good last year, and all of a sudden he figured out how to be good. So I really credit with Milwaukee with figuring out how to make people better.
They do, and you know that's something that the Cardinals have talked about. Probably not specific to Milwaukee, but on the concept of taking guys, developing them, and making them better. And they're doing that with some of the guys in the rotation right now. And if you look at the minor leagues, Ricky, that's happening there too. It's happening with Liam Doyle working on his command. Yeah. It's happening with a guy named, you know, this is a guy for Cardinals fans to put on the radar. They haven't heard of him yet probably, but Jacob Odell is one of those guys who is having a big breakout year, just got moved up a level. He's one of these guys that they're turning into something more than he was. That's an important part of baseball.
So I'll go back to the word that we were talking about, ad nauseum in spring training, the word development.
Yeah.
But that's really what you're talking about is making guys better and you know, getting and some guys getting better is just getting more experience. And for other guys, it's kind of fine-tuning something, arm angle, biomechanics, pitch selection, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's always another reason, but, you know, make them better and get them to the big leagues. That's what development's all about.
So, Ricky, I thought it was interesting listening, and we'll look ahead a little bit today, but I want to talk about Matthew Liberatore for a second because I thought it was interesting some of his comments after the game about, you know, trusting his pitches and always believing he's going to execute it, which is great. You want to hear that from a pitcher. But I thought it was interesting because there were a few people on the outside. I saw a little on social media. A couple of friends texted me too, like, "Well, you threw the guy four sliders in the at bat." I'd be like, "That's not a problem." I've talked to Leo Mazzoni enough and other pitching coaches enough. A lot of times we get focused on pitch selection when it's just pitch execution. If the pitch is where you want it, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I actually think his slider's his best pitch. I feel like the more he throws that, the better. I think he likes his curveball more than the slider, but I like his slider. But you're right. I mean, it's like, well, don't hang it. Well, of course not. I mean, that's not the goal. I mean, it is. It's all about execution. It really is. And that's true of an at-bat, and it's true of catching a ground ball, all that.
So looking these last handful of games, Rick, is there anything that stands out to you? Because to me, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. There have been some games where you really hit, some games when you don't. And I don't even want to include yesterday in the games where you don't hit because, we already talked about that.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can. No, I think everything's fine. I think the big question that I keep coming back to with the Cardinals is what's the bullpen going to look like in the next 2 weeks, the next 2 months? And that always needs work. And I think a lot of other teams saying the same thing.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. It's a bummer. It was a bummer that Matt Svensson had to go down. I did think it was necessary. It's a couple of months of really finding a few games here and there where you're good, and then there's been a couple of blow-ups. But I'm really happy to see Fernandez back because I thought he looked great the other night.
Oh, he looked terrific. He's very confident too. I had a chance to visit with him a little bit in the clubhouse afterwards, and talked about his outing, and he was all smiles. And I would say, I don't know. I feel like he was just very happy with what he was able to do. And thinking that maybe it turned a corner, and the Cardinals really need him to be the Ryan Fernandez of 2 years ago.
He's been phenomenal. I know his numbers at Memphis were good, too. His fastball life seems to be, like, velocity's been there, but it feels like he's got a little more carry to it, and that slider's always been wipeout when he's able to locate it.
Well, another thing about him, in spring training I saw him and was talking about kind of what he was hopeful for, and he goes, I'm not right, and I'm not very good right now. So, I mean, as goofy as that to hear, I mean, it was honest, and he was actually right. But, you know, self-assessment is pretty important, is understanding kind of where you are and where you need to be. So if he's confident where he is right now, the fact that he was not confident in spring training tells me, I think we've got something to feel good about.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's, again, part of, you know, getting guys right and getting them back. Now, we're not going to see Andre Pallante in this series. I wanted to bring him up to you for a second, Rick, and maybe we'll do this a little bit more on Thursday or Friday because of the weekend. Yeah. But you mentioned something about pitch selection and your pitch mix. And it's been interesting that he has used the fastball and his versions of the fastball a lot less this year and more breaking balls. And the pitches are the same, but he's just using those more than he did in the past. That's really, really interesting.
Well, he didn't need much more than the fastball against lefties in the past because they kept beating it in the ground.
Right.
But I think the more he's used his curveball specifically, the better command he has of it. And, you know, the curveball was the one where, you know, one day it would be perfect, the next day it would be 59 footers at one after another.
Right.
And I do think, I like his slider too. I think when he's really good, his slider is the pitch that he's getting swing and miss and strikeouts with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having a slider and a strikeout is a lot easier said than done because as you know, wheels are different pitches and sometimes one becomes the other and you got kind of two sloppy pitches that are in between instead of a sharp curveball and a sharp slider. You throw them differently. And it's not, they're not that different, but they are different. And so you've got to be, so like McGreevy today, McGreevy has 7 pitches.
Yeah.
Or does he say 9? I think 7. I lost track. I know it's more fingers, than you have on one hand. And apparently there's enough buttons on the pitch comm that they can handle that. But, and he kind of needs that because he needs to have the big question mark about pitch mix and all that.
Yeah.
But you've got to be a precise pitcher to be able to command and know how to throw that many pitches.
It's fascinating. That we'll close on this, Rick. We'll close on McGreevy because it's a really good point. What's interesting is he has the 7 pitches, but he throws 6 of them at least 10-11% of the time.
They're
all being used every game pretty frequently.
Yeah, so that's the other thing we used to say in the minor leagues when some guy would say they have 4 or 5 pitches. It's like, well, how often do you throw them? Well, you know, once a month. And so, okay, you don't really have it. So you know how to throw it. Well, I know how to throw a knuckleball, too. It just can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not very good. I mean, so there's a difference between knowing how to throw it and having it. And, you know, so when a guy comes to the big leagues and says, I don't have a curveball and I don't have a changeup, you'd be like, how can I go into the big leagues without that? It means they haven't commanded it yet.
Ricky, you're the best. Have fun tonight. We'll talk later in the week.
All right, Wheels, good to chat with you.
Always good to have Ricky Horton. And a reminder, Cardinals baseball tonight. So we have Redbird Rush Hour from 5 until about 5:40. And then we have pregame at 5:45, first pitch tonight, 6:40 in Milwaukee. That's DGS on a Tuesday. Almost said Monday because it feels like Monday after the holiday yesterday. Dave will be back later in the week. Rach, Andrew, and me, we're all here just hanging out. You got something teed up, Rach?
Yeah, so this is we're digging into the archives for the story, but I think it's a fun discussion topic. So this is making the rounds on the internet again. A mother went on a rant about childless adults when she visited Disney World, and she was blaming these childless adults for ruining her son's day at the park. Her son is 3 years old. I guess he saw a childless young woman eating a Mickey Mouse-shaped pretzel, and you can only get this at Disney, apparently. And he was like begging his mom, like, please, can I get the pretzel, please? But the lines were too long and they had to get moving. And she could not deal with her child's disappointment and blamed his fit on all of these childless adults who were contributing to the long line. And she gets on Facebook and writes like all these expletives and like, this girl, she was wearing skimpy shorts and she was buying a Mickey pretzel and my little Aiden wanted one, but the line was too long and it broke his heart and he cried. And so she goes on to say, Disney World is for children. People without children need to be banned. And I'm thinking like, okay, I get that maybe you're a little annoyed that the lines were long, but
it's Disney.
It's what do you mean? Like you're
so
gonna
the line being longer would be better if it was people with kids?
Exactly. And what do you mean ban? You're going to make it illegal to enter the park if you don't have a kid with you? Like that's a little extreme, no?
First of all, your three-year-old's going to have fits about a lot of things in their life because they're three.
Yeah. And if you
can't handle it without melting down, you're also a three-year-old.
Like, yeah.
Everybody who has a child has been through the point where your three-year-old is irrational, they're tired, they're upset, it's hot, and they lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Your job as a parent is to deal with that, not tell other people not to do something because your child might get jealous that they have something. What are you doing? Maybe work on being an actual parent rather than a child with a child. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I think if you can't manage your kids' expectations for a pretzel, you are setting them up for a pretty tough life.
Again, I've done that. I've been to Disney with a three-year-old. They melt down sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot, man. It's a lot of stimulation. It's a lot of excitement. It's a lot of fatigue. It's hot. They're hot. Yeah, I get it. That's okay. Your kid's going to have a fit. You need to be able to handle it. You're the adult. You responding to that by having a fit about other adults who did nothing but have a good time is insane. And if you want to ban the Disney adults from the parks, then prepare for your entry fees to triple. Because to make the same amount of money, Disney would have to triple what they're charging you to bring your kids. But yeah, sure. Be reasonable.
I love the idea of Disney being like, yeah, you're right. Kids only. Hey, we're not interested in your money here. Just keep moving along, childless people.
Yeah.
It's not like they've been catering to that exact audience now for years. Oh, I'm sorry, Andrew. I had
can
to
you
jot
guys
it down.
Hear? Oh, okay. Okay.
Hey, cool. It works.
I was talking in here, and I could kind of hear it in my own headphones.
Yeah.
But every time like there would be a gap in conversation, I'd be like, yeah, and furthermore. And then I would, like,
we're like, nobody cares, Andrew.
I think maybe they can't hear me, actually.
Yeah. We do hear you.
I hear you now.
That's funny. Yeah, it's I fail to see, like, why it's this, like, childless adult's fault for eating a pretzel.
Also, do you know for a fact they're childless?
Yeah, maybe they were just, maybe the kids were somewhere else.
Maybe the kid went off on a different ride with a different adult.
Hey, maybe they lost their child because they're negligent. Maybe the kid wandered off and they don't know where the kid is.
I mean, as an example, when my daughter was about three, we went with grandparents. Mm-hmm. And there were periods of time where my wife and I were not with the child, but we were there with a child. Just not in that very moment. So you're rushing to a judgment that you're not even sure is accurate.
Yeah. Well,
and then you're
going
to take
shorts.
It to social media and yell because you can't handle your kid having a fit.
Yeah, and then you're going to call her a skank because she's got shorts on.
It's not right. It's not everyone else's problem to deal with your kid. It's your problem, and it's what kids do. It's okay. It's okay. Kids are going to be, they're going to cry sometimes. They're going to be upset sometimes. You can't mollify the world to please your three-year-old.
Mm.
It doesn't work.
He wanted a pretzel, but then I didn't want to wait in line.
Yeah, so it's
this
other
person's fault.
Okay,
so you just didn't want to wait in line.
Yeah.
Like,
he never stopped crying.
It's like, we had to keep moving. It's like, well, you could actually come back for the Disneyland is open from like 5 in the morning until 4 in the morning. Like, you can...
Yeah, I mean...
How much is the food at Disney? Is it crazy?
It's a lot.
So much.
I would be buying my 3-year-old that pretzel anyway. I'd be like, we got pretzels at home.
And I'm not joking with you.
That is the most Rick, that's my dad's name, the most Rick answer ever.
That is the most, and I'm not kidding you, that is probably an $18 pretzel.
Oh no, it's
definitely crazy.
It's double digits for sure.
If not like in the 20s.
I always see people post about like, oh, the food is so good. And I'm like, I just don't feel like I would be able to enjoy food that was that expensive that I know is just okay. I mean, I'm sure tastes really good for a theme park, but it's not gourmet food.
And the pretzel's $8.49. It's not as bad as
thought. Yeah, that's actually not terrible.
I was thinking like fully like at least 15.
But a three-year-old's going to have what, like 2 bites of that?
Yeah, because it's probably the size of the face. Right. Yeah, right.
Got Mickey at home.